Welcome back to another episode of Jason Rants the Leftover. It's the show after the show where we keep talking because I don't want to stop. But I mean, I have to on the radio because after my show comes Ben Shapiro and then Michael Knowles and then Mark Levin and then Jimmy Failla, who's going to be on the show tomorrow. By the way, he's in town on Friday. For those of you who are listening in Western Washington, he's playing at the Federal Way Performing Arts Center. I think you're going to really enjoy it. I'm going to try to get down there on Friday night for the show. I actually mistakenly thought it was Saturday, so I was all like, oh, I can make that happen. But then I realized, oh no, I got it wrong. It's actually Friday. So I'm going to try to get down there. I'm looking forward to it. I love Jimmy. Jimmy's a really, really funny guy. And you know, anytime you get a comedian who you might think is like the conservative version of a left-wing comedian, it never works out. That's not what Jimmy Failla is. That's not what he does. He's an actual comedian who just happens to also be, you know, reasonable when it comes to political issues. But I know you're going to absolutely love it if you go ahead and check out the show. But he'll be on the show tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. Some of the stories we did not get a chance to get to today. I was going to get into some of the results in the primary last night, primaries, I should say, but really we were focused on two, mostly Wisconsin, but also I guess you can throw in Connecticut, though Connecticut at the end of the day is not going to matter. Connecticut's going to go to the Team Biden anyway, but Wisconsin is on the line. Wisconsin, he won this last election by about 20,000 votes. And so everyone's paying attention to their version of the uncommitted, which is the uninstructed. And looking at the primary results, a little over 8% decided to go with uninstructed. And that amounted to a little under 50,000 or so votes. I'm guessing that over the course of the next day or so, it might hit 50,000 just because you constantly get more numbers coming in. On top of that, though, you do have 17,000 votes going towards Dean Phillips, who's not in the race any longer. But, you know, that also sends an indicator. You can also just combine those into the uncommitted category. And, you know, you've got a little over 11.5% of the vote saying we don't want you. That's obviously not good. However, the question always becomes, and we've said this over and over again, how many of those voters will go ahead and vote for him anyway? Because they're not going to vote for Trump, right? It's one thing to say when nothing is on the line, I'm going to take a protest vote. Yeah, when there's nothing on the line, it doesn't really matter to you. It is purely symbolic. And symbolism matters. But, you know, I think clearly the Biden campaign is in a slightly tough position. They have to, they believe, try to placate the anti-Semitic progressive base of the party who they, you know, they don't want to call their bluff and say, oh, no, I'm not believing you. You're going to vote for me anyway. You know, because you can't afford to lose that many votes. And in the grand scheme of things, 20,000 votes is not a lot unless you're looking at a state that is going to be, or we presume to be, pretty razor thin. So obviously not good news for Joe Biden to keep getting those kinds of numbers. The question just is how many of those will truly follow through when it matters, when it truly matters. And I don't know the answer to that. I don't. I have to assume there's going to be some, but will it even make a difference in a 20,000 tight kind of race? I don't know. The issue that was, I'm not going to say it was ignored per se, but I do think it's worth talking about, is the, on the other side of things, Donald Trump's, you know, issues that he's running into as well. And we can pretend that it doesn't matter because it's not getting as much airtime, including on the sort of Democrat-run networks, the CNNs and MSNBCs of the world. But I'm looking at the numbers, and again, they're, I mean, in fairness, it is 99% reported. I thought it was at 89%, but it's at 99% right now after the show. So you'll see a little bit of correction, course correction, but not much. He came out with 80% of the vote, or just shy of 80%, 79.2% of the vote. A good commanding lead, of course, with 475,000 votes. But he was running up against three other candidates, or two candidates and uninstructed, and they pulled in a considerable number of votes. Nikki Haley brought in 77,000, Ron DeSantis 20,000, and the uninstructed or uncommitted brought in about 13,000 or just shy of 13,000. So, you know, you can make the argument that Donald Trump has a problem as well, because people clearly voted for Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis knowing that they're not even in the race. And then uninstructed is obviously a clear sign. Again, how many of those votes say, I'll vote for Biden or I'm not going to vote at all in Wisconsin? Don't know. But he can't afford to lose them either. Right. He cannot afford to lose them either. And I don't know if I could confidently say that he's doing enough to try to bring on Nikki Haley supporters. He should be trying to court them. He should be doing that actively. End of story. Period. If he doesn't bring them on board, if he alienates them or ignores them, you're just giving a huge opening to Joe Biden, and he's going to jump at that, and they would be smart to, and they should. Because let's be clear, there were a number of moderate Democrats and independents who liked Nikki Haley more than Donald Trump because they just don't like his personality. And maybe they see him as too extreme. I find the former to be more likely than the latter, but you know, you never know. And the same concern about the margins is valid with Donald Trump, where you got to pull in as many votes as possible. And he is not. He's very clearly not trying to go after the Nikki Haley voters in any meaningful or at least noticeable way at this point. Ron DeSantis voters, he still has his support. I imagine Ron DeSantis supporters are significantly more likely than Nikki Haley to vote for Donald Trump. I would argue Nikki Haley supporters are more likely to vote for maybe a third party or for Joe Biden than they would Donald Trump. And there's just not a game going on to bring those people in. And even just looking at the raw votes, again, you're running against two potential people versus, you know, two potential options to vote versus just the one really with Joe Biden. But Biden pulled in 510,000 votes. Again, that's going to extend a little bit, but that's a pretty nice chunk of votes there. And you can't argue that, you know, Donald Trump suffered a little bit because everyone knows he's going to be the nominee, because you can say exactly the same thing about Joe Biden. And that does matter. That really does matter. And like I said, you get 48,000, 50,000 uninstructed voters. You presume that not all of them or even a significant enough chunk is going to go to Donald Trump. But a lot can happen between now and November. A lot can happen. And we just don't know where things are going to head. And we do know, obviously, that Donald Trump is going to continue to be dealing with the criminal justice system, as it were. Even if it is weaponized, it's going to take his attention away from the campaign trail. And again, he is benefiting right now from not being on Twitter, because if some people saw what he was writing about the judge and the judge's family, even if you agree that there is something going on here, that there's a conflict, it's still a turnoff. It really is. It is still very clearly a turnoff to voters to go after judges like that and to go after their kids. Even if you think and I'm someone who thinks the criticism is for the most part valid, but I don't like some of those messages he's posting on Truth Social. I think it's ridiculous. I think he's asking for problems. And he has always been his own worst enemy when it comes to running for office. He just cannot help himself but do things like this. And, you know, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he's doing this intentionally to make it harder for himself. But he is, in fact, making it harder for himself. And he does not have the discipline on messaging at this point that you would expect of someone like Donald Trump, who's very smart, who's very successful. And I know that, you know, you could argue if you're in a position like he is that, hey, I'm only where I am today because this is my personality and everyone likes it. Yeah, but not everyone likes it. And very clearly, not everyone likes it. And you need as many people to like you as humanly possible, because there are voters out there who are waiting for a reason to say no to Joe Biden. They are waiting for that reason. And Donald Trump is the only person who can give it to them. But also, he's the only person who can push them away and have them settle yet again for Joe Biden. That's the reality. That is absolutely the reality. Now, at the same time, you have some Democrats who are absolutely losing it, thanks to a new proposal coming from Republicans that would rename the main international airport for Washington, D.C. after Donald Trump. It feels like a silly bill and a waste of time. It really does. You've got actual issues to solve. I don't know why you're putting a bill that you know isn't going to pass this current Congress. So why put it forward? But that's what Guy Reschenthaler of Pennsylvania decided to do. It's backed by six House Republicans. It would change Dulles to Donald J. Trump International Airport. I do like the idea, but let's be honest. It's just not going to go anywhere. And it did, however, trigger enough Democrats that Fox News caught wind of some of the reactions to it. You have Jerry Connolly, the congressman Democrat from Virginia, who actually his district covers at least part of Dulles. He said Donald Trump is facing 91 felony charges. If Republicans want to name something after him, I'd suggest they find a federal prison. You have Jennifer Wexton, the congresswoman also from Virginia, Democrat, who said, this is just another in a long list of instances where extreme House Republicans have showed how unserious and delusional they are. Let's be honest, that has some truth to it. This is not a smart move from House Republicans. I know it's just a small group of them. It's only seven. But this is not appropriate. Don Beyer, another congressman, Democrat from Virginia, said he was... He was at the transit hub with worried families when Trump's travel ban on terror-prone countries, most of them predominantly Muslim, was fueling chaos at major airports. One of Trump's first acts as president was a racist Muslim ban that blocked permanent American residents from their own country. I went to Dulles to try to help innocent people caught up in the chaos. I remember grandparents detained for hours as their terrified families waited. Okay, thanks, Hero. Thank you, Hero. Really appreciate it, Hero. What would we do without you, Hero? Meanwhile, I was yet again disgusted by some of the responses I saw or tweets I saw today after Congresswoman Lauren Boebert announced that she had to undergo emergency surgery for, they were calling it originally severe swelling, but they said it was a rare vascular condition. So what they ended up having to do was clear up a blood clot. They said it was an acute blood clot that had caused severe swelling in her left leg. It's something I've never actually heard of, May-Thurner syndrome. I have never heard of that before in my life. It is a condition that affects blood flow, according to the Cleveland Clinic. It occurs when the right iliac artery, which sends blood to your right leg, presses on the left iliac vein, which carries blood from your left leg to your heart. Some people have no symptoms of May-Thurner syndrome. That always feels great to realize, oh, you could die from something of which you will not even know you have until you're dead. Others develop deep vein thrombosis or blood clots in the legs. And obviously, it's very serious. If you have to have emergency surgery, that is an indication that is very serious. And so Boebert, or her staff, I guess, it's in the first person, posted on the Twitter account, I want to thank Dr. Rebecca Bade and the entire team at UC Health Medical Center of the Rockies for their great care and providing helpful insight on my recent diagnosis. I'm looking forward to making a full recovery and getting back to Congress to continue fighting for Colorado. And the doctor also put out a statement. They call her a hospitalist. Is that not the same as a surgeon or a doctor? But she said, we successfully performed surgery on the congresswoman this morning and expect her to make a full recovery. Patients with May-Thurner syndrome who undergo the procedure to restore blood flow are able to live and work just as they have in the past after a brief recovery. Now, I saw some of the responses on Twitter just filled with rotten people wishing her death, wishing that it was worse, wishing they didn't actually find it. Every once in a while, you'll get the tweet that says, and I suppose I can certainly appreciate the person who says, I've been seeing a lot of really nasty messages. I can't stand any of her politics, but I wish her the best of luck in recovery because I'm not a horrible, rotten human being like some of you people. Like, I get it. That's the correct response. But my God, this is just so depraved, these people. And I don't understand what compels them, including some people who actually at least use what seems like a real identity and not an avatar of a cat with some, you know, blue wave in your screen name without any idea as to who these people are. These are people who at least appear to be real, making these comments. Like, do you have no shame whatsoever? What in God's name is wrong with you? I can't stand lots of politicians. I cannot stand some politicians. And yet it's never dawned on me to sort of like dance on a medical diagnosis or dance on their grave if they pass. It's just truly bizarre what people with such hate in their hearts are willing to post publicly. It just shame on these people. It's such a downer. Other than that, though, I love Twitter. Thank you, Elon Musk, for copying on or responding to one of my articles today. I really do appreciate that. And I really do appreciate you tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow.